WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post-show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's on me now, Oops. Hey, I'm gonna get them all. Oops.
As everyone eats on the go home to SummerSlam, this is the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link, Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock for Lindsay Ward and 49 Shot when you buy Pirates, Adidas, Deadpool, Wolverine, Avatar. Everything. Hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
We are on the road to SummerSlam, and oh my goodness, this was a go-home show.
So what I liked on this show, what I really liked, is for the most part, they kept people apart who were in big-time matches. We'll talk about Punk and Rollins and Drew. They were in a ring together, but with until the very end of the show, there was no interaction between Damian and Gunther. Both of them had promos where they just talked. Gunther did one in the crowd, in the empty seats. Damian did his own. And they both told their story about the match on Sunday. And then the same thing with Liv and Rhea. Liv did all the burning of the Dominic stuff. And she's going to walk out Women's World Champion. That's the three words she wants to hear, because she's just going to leave Dominic alone, right? I don't think anyone buys that.
Mm-mm.
And then you had Rhea cut her own promo. I liked how they kept them apart, because you've had all the confrontations and you've had all the back and forth verbal, so you got four different people telling their story. And I thought they did a really nice job portraying that on this show.
You kind of sort of dialed everything up last week, and now you're just letting it simmer. And this was a really good way, a really smart way to send it home, because everybody's ready for the show. You don't really need to do much else for a lot of your big matches. So it's like, we're just going to like have everybody just reinforce why we're doing this, and then we're going to go home, except for like Gunther and Damian, who at the very end we'll get into, and you know, obviously Sammy and Braun and a few others. But I enjoyed this. I thought how they did it was very smart. When Casey said last night that there are certain people who do not like a specific storyline, he was talking about me.
Yes.
I'm still not feeling the Liv thing, but it didn't help me tonight, but I like how they did keep them apart. And I liked how they set up certain things that could happen, like certain possibilities.
Which we'll talk more about on Thursday night when we preview SummerSlam on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. I thought that they did a good job keeping the four of them apart. The main event was Gunther and Finn. Good match. I don't know what it would be.
Great match.
Ended up with Gunther getting the win. And then he kept the sleeper hold on Finn, which brought out Damian. Because earlier in the night, Finn's like, you know, it's SummerSlam, you're going to do this on your own. Well, tonight I want to do it on my own. So Finn had no backup. But Damian made the save after the match, because he didn't interfere in the match. He came out after. And then he just brawled with Gunther. And sort of put his hands all over Gunther. Gunther escaped at the very end. But Damian had his way with Gunther to close Monday Night Raw.
Which, if you believe in how they tell stories, that could be foreshadowing for something to come, which we'll get into Thursday. But I liked how they told the whole story with Judgment Day tonight. How you had everybody get their focus, everybody get their feature, whether it was Finn and JD, whether it was Dominic and Rhea, whether it was Damian. You had everybody
and Carlito
get some attention. And Carlito.
Don't forget about Carlito. He's there.
I can't forget about Carlito because I love Carlito.
Who lost to Jey Uso.
He did, sadly, and that was not appreciated. But like, I liked how specifically for the Judgment Day, everybody got their focus. Nobody was really left behind. And they really did make them feel like a feature. They're doing a really good job of balancing everybody in that group. Because it's like, you could have it be all about Damian, or you could have it be all about Rhea and Dom, but you're having it be about all of them. And you're, again, like we were talking about, setting up possibilities in that group for what could happen in terms of the group splintering and breaking, or drama within the group coming out of Saturday.
But the focus at the end was, they're going to be a unit. They're like, we're going to come out of this together. On all the stuff aside, Saturday, we're all going to be together and coming out of it together.
Yeah, the Shield said that too, right up until Seth Rollins took a chair to Roman Reigns' back. So,
But at least they're putting it out there like, hey,
this is what's happening.
We're a family, damn it, yeah. But you know, they told a great story with the Judgment Day throughout. They gave them all individual focus, but also brought them together at the end. The other member of the Judgment Day was Dominic Mysterio, who took on Sami Zayn. Sami would get the win when JD and Carly interfered. Jey Uso made the save. Then Bron Breakker came out, and held the ring. Helped Zayn hold the ring against Bron Breakker. I assume that's now also setting up what happens afterwards, where Jay's probably going to be the first challenger for Bron Breakker. Possibly.
Could be. It's entirely possible. If Braun is successful.
It is very successful. We'll see if he can on Saturday, but we'll talk about that more on Thursday. One thing we're going to talk about now is the Dexter Lumis therapy session. that was interesting. He had an X paint on his head and buzzards. We just want to know what to do when buzzards are circling. And
you run. Yeah,
you run.
It's... Tonight, we had advancement in the Wyatt Six in terms of Chad Gable being stalked by them. And I was sitting here watching it, and when they came out to come for Gable, because at this point we all know they're going after him, I only saw the three. I didn't see Nikki and I didn't see Howdy. And I was like, oh, something's afoot. Something's up. And so you had the Creeds and Gable in the ring. Before we get into this, we should say go Maxine for smacking the crap out of Chad Gable. I'm proud of you, girl. Because then she was like ready to fight him. She like squared up and she's like, I'm going to beat your butt. And it was awesome. But then the Wyatt Six showed up and she ran, and rightfully so, because I would probably do that too.
This was after the Creeds beat Otis and the Caratazella.
Yes.
So rare.
Yes. But that's not the highlight of this. It's what happened after. So you had the Wyatt Six come out, and it was Ramblin', Mercy, and Huskus with their visages. There was no Nikki. And there was no Howdy. And so, the trio marched to the ring. They get up on the ring apron and... Well, I'm going to get to it, Matt. Don't worry. Get up on the ring apron, and for the first time, we see the Wyatt Six fully unmasked. And oh my god, what is going on with Dexter? They take their masks off. Dexter's got, his eyes with like black paint around him, the X on his forehead. He's got long hair. Eric is Eric, and Joe Gacy looks like all wild and crazy and freaky. And then as the lights come back up and the trio is standing there ready to beat Gable and the Creeds down, Nikki Cross comes flying out of literally nowhere. She landed on Gable.
Yeah. I believe Michael Cole's called her Sister Abigail.
Yeah, she's Abby the Witch, or she's Sister Abigail. Okay, so this is stupid, but my only critique is that she's got that like grungy looking like outfit on, but she's got these bright white bike shorts on underneath.
Nobody's
supposed to see them, but it was just, that was my only critique. But yeah, like Nikki comes flying out of nowhere. The Creeds get beat down. Gable gets away. The crowd's chanting, "You fucked up," the whole time. And then, you know, Michael Cole says, "Well, Chad Gable's going to get away." And out comes Uncle Howdy, ready to catch his prey. And he's laughing the whole time. And Chad Gable scurries away in the opposite direction from Howdy, leaving the Creeds laying.
Which was good. And then after we had the therapy session, Chad's like, hey Pierce, I figured it out. That's Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis, and Eric Rowan. And Pierce's like, I know. They're under contract.
Duh.
Gale said, oh, they can compete then. And he's like, yeah, I want a 6-man tag, okay? It's official.
Pierce is like, are you sure? Are you really sure you want that in your life? Are you positive? And Gable's like, do it, make the match. And Pierce is like, okay.
I just like, he solved the riddle, the mystery. It's like, yeah.
I love the fourth wall break of, yeah, they're under contract. Like, I just love that so freaking much. Like, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I've been like wishing for them to acknowledge for literally years. For groups like this, where it's like, oh my god, they just randomly showed up and broke in the building and we're totally not going to escort them out, right? So, like, the fact that Pierce is like, yeah, they work here.
Which I would assume, here's the backstory where how that would happen is a conversation with Bo. And I think Bo is the one who got him the contracts to officially be a part of all this. That's what I think the whole backstory of it would lead to.
Yeah, that, or Bo got them in or something like that, because that was the whole conversation that Bo had with Pierce, is that Bo had a contract, but, you know, he had to get the other three, or the other four, because Nikki was actually technically under contract. But you get the other three in, or you get, like, Rowan in, because Lumis was already under contract, Gacy was under contract, you just had to get Eric in.
Yeah.
So, because he's the only one that's returning. But this was really, really well done. I love how every time the Wyatt Six shows up now, it's the "you fucked up" chant that they try to mute and they can't.
No, got a few more months.
So they're just having to kind of like kill the crowd mics.
Yeah, at least it's just killing the mics and not the black screen of doom.
Yes, yes, we are appreciative, very, very, very appreciative. But I like this. This was good.
One point before we move on, and it was back to all of the four segmented promos before I forget the point, was I like how they did it, and also they didn't try so hard, because you mentioned, like, last week they heated up everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Sci-Fi this week, so it's like they know the audience is not going to be as high tonight. So it was like they peaked last week, and this week was like, we're going to tell the stories, we're going to give you good content, but we don't have to peak it again. We've already climaxed last week when in the bigger audience, because this one is going to go a little bit lower in terms of numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, that was very smart of them to do the actual go home last week, and then you have an additional go home that's just a solid follow-up to what you did last week.
Which is what you need.
I really like how they did that.
Other things that happened on the show: Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark took on Lyra Valkyria and the KC. Zoe and crew got the win when Zoe pinned Katana Chance, which saw then the return of the Damage Controls, Io Sky, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. They came out, cleared the ring, which is good.
Dude, Damage Control looked like a bunch of girl bosses.
They did. Dakota talked about the only reason Deville's crew has been running the place because they've been gone. Kai said they would reestablish an order of things and challenge Sonya to a match next week.
I'm here for it. I'm down.
I'm completely down for that match next week on the show. We mentioned Sammy being Dominic. Karrion Kross took on Xavier Woods. Solid match. Karrion was basically talking down, said Kingston skipped town because this match was about Woods, because no one wants to be in the hellhole that is Minnesota. And said he wanted Woods to join his faction, tell the little kids at home that the power of positivity was a big lie. He also wants Woods to tell Kingston he should have retired after he lost the WWE title in just 6 seconds.
Ooh.
Cross will get the win. Woods had a couple moments, but he had too many men at ringside for him to counter at all.
I'm just going to say this. You either need to send the White Six to SmackDown, which would break my heart because they're on Fridays, or you need to send Cross's group back to SmackDown, because... And I hate saying this, but with both of them on Raw, the Wyatt Six is making Cross's group feel very obsolete in terms of being that dark sort of gimmick, right? That dark sort of group. it's just making them feel not as good, not as impressive, not as anything in comparison of the two. I really feel like you need to get Cross's group away from the Wyatt Six in order to have them feel impactful. Well, because you have all the right pieces.
You do, but here's the problem. They also can't be on SmackDown either.
Because of the Bloodline?
Because of the Bloodline.
I feel like you could have them running neck and neck with the Bloodline. No,
you couldn't, because they were there before and the Bloodline was so much better that they got lost in the shuffle there too. Send them to NXT.
Yeah, NXT would probably be a good option for them. Build them up in NXT. Because, yeah, they need... And that's the problem with groups like that, is they need their own show. You know, it's like groups like the Bloodline, the Wyatt Six, Cross's group. They need their own show in order to really shine. Because right. If there's something remotely better, it's just going to kill it.
Because the Bloodline with Roman and the crew was so much better. And now they would be overshadowed by a Solo and crew. They're overshadowed by the Wyatts. They're a mid-card act that's a low mid-card at this point. And not you would because almost they're not because they're not talented, it's just better talent out there.
You're having Cross do something that is like the group is doing something a little too similar to what the Wyatt Six are doing. And the difference is the presentation. Wyatt Six's presentation is so much better.
One's a big budget Hollywood movie, and the other's an indie film.
Yeah, because you have Cross trying to be that charismatic. Charismatic cult leader. That's what he's trying to do, is be that charismatic leader that he's trying to pull Woods into his group. You know, it's you don't need them, you need us. We'll help you. That kind of thing. And so that's really what they're trying to do with it. And, you know, you have all the impressive pieces. You have Cross, you have AOP, you have Scarlett, you have like everybody there that really could make this work. But the problem is that the writing, it's not working. I feel like you either need to like send them to NXT, give them their own spot on NXT, have them run rampant there, or repackage them.
Like carrying on his own works. Him and Scarlett would work.
Yeah.
On either show without, but because it's a group, they could just come. They're the third group. They're the outcast maybe fourth or fifth based on other groups that are on the shows, but in terms of like where they're. The type of they're trying to run, it's like they're not as dominating, they're not as charismatic, they don't click with people. Like the Wyatts,
the presentation the Wyatts click,
the Bloodline click, because they're unique and they're different than what makes the Wyatt Six and the Bloodline much better than the Final Testament is because it's not the typical WWE staple group.
Yeah.
Carrion has this typical group, and it just makes them look basic in compared to everything else that's on the roster.
Yeah, and it's also, I love Xavier, I love Kofi, but at this point, New Day is a thing of the past. Like, New Day had its height, it had its peak, and it was amazing, it was awesome, and we all love New Day, and I still love New Day to this day. But, like, in terms of, you have to admit that the power of positivity was a lie. Well, the power of positivity hasn't been a thing for, like, 2 years. And that's really the struggle with this, is...
New Day had a run for 10 years.
Yeah, New Day ran for forever, but at this point, New Day's over, and you're having Cross... Like, and it's not even Cross. This is not on Karrion Kross at all. It's on the writing, and the way that you're writing it is you're having him attack the power of positivity in the New Day when the New Day's really gone. You know, E is unfortunately retired. Kofi is in and out in terms of being healthy and hurt. And that leaves Xavier. And the problem is that Xavier and Kofi have not really found their identities outside of New Day, especially without E. They've tried, and they kind of got stuff going there for a while, and then they kind of didn't, and they're just sort of have gotten lost in the shuffle, and I think they're trying to do something with them, but again, it's not clicking, it's not working, and I don't know how to make it click. Like, that's my problem, is like I'm sitting here trying to figure out any way to salvage this, because like everybody's doing their best, like everybody's working their butt off, and this is not on anybody involved in the storyline. It's more of like a writing and a presentation thing that it's just not working.
Like, I get what they're going for. They're trying to have Woods question things, but we all know Woods is not going to leave Kofi. They're not breaking them up. They're building. Kofi's healthy, by the way, because he flew to Japan and worked. They're telling the story that he's out and waiting for a return. So they're going to build. They're trying to build a Kofi's big return, but it's weakening the whole story. And they need the third. They don't have a third. That's their problem. They're going to come back. They're still 2-3, and you need a third. So unless Big E's ready to go, which he's not, Big E's not coming back. Big E's set for a while. He's got a good new gig doing the pre and post on PLEs. They need a third to kind of roll with them. Otis and Tozawa, not the third and fourth they need. They need a third of some sort to kind of boost them up, and they don't have it right now. I mean, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
can't do Otis. I don't think they're separating them. They're gonna have a tag team run again. I would assume one last go once you get away from this program, because you can still push them as a team, like get them some tag team wins. Because if they're in a straight feud, they'll be fine. This is just taking them down a notch. But
I'm just going to say it. Kerrion is trying to do what Bray Wyatt did years ago, but Kerrion does not have the seductive chops of Bray Wyatt to lure Xavier away. Bray got really close.
Yeah.
And I mean really close, but it didn't work. So that's, I would like to see them, like, I hate that we just sat here and bashed this thing for like 10 minutes, but like, I would like to see them salvage this in some way, shape, or form. I would love to see the group salvaged in any way that they can, but I think them being on the same show as the White Six, I don't know how that's possible. I really don't, just because you, like we said, there is one that is presented really, really, really well, and it's shining and it's clicking and it's firing on all cylinders. And then you have Kerrion's group, and they're just kind of getting left by the wayside because you had the White Six show up. And the problem is that Kerrion's group did not get established on Raw before that happened. Like, they got the White Six ready to go and they were like, boom, here we go.
Yeah. Anyway, other things that happened. Bronson Reed beat Sheamus.
Two big beefy men slapping meat, man.
And then Peter Dune showed up and hit Sheamus with a shillelagh. Allowed Bronson Reed get the win. I think Xavier Woods wants to have a singles run too of some sort. But I also don't see them bringing up the group to make it happen either. Go ahead.
Pete, be nice to your friend. Don't smack him in the face with a shillelagh.
That's how some people like to say hi.
Is that his love language? Smacking people with a shillelagh?
Apparently that's his love language, yes. Also,
Bron Breakker, breaking fingers.
I mean that too. Bron Breakker also had one of those video, like, straight interview things as well, which was really good on the show. But the big confrontation opened up Monday Night Raw. As you had Seth Rollins open up the show. He brought out the two morons. Before I continue on, Seth Rollins' casual referee attire.
I thought it would be sluttier.
No, this is the formal wear. This is not, this is the it's like a suit. What he wears on Saturday is going to be different.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just way more demure than I thought it would be. Like, it was very, for him, understated. Although him standing there, serving in the ring when Punk was coming out, where he, like, had his little hip popped out, and he's like, look at me, aren't I fabulous? Like, that was something to watch, or that was something to see. But honestly, it's like, this is very lacking bling. Like, the sleeves were cute. He looked good in the sleeves, but yeah, like, this was very understated for him. I was rather shocked. I'm curious to see what he's going to wear on Saturday, though.
Yeah, this is, I don't expect this to be the look. I think this was casual. Rollins said Adam Pearce ordered them not to lay a finger one another until their match at SummerSlam. Rollins said Pierce also said the same rule applies to either one of them putting a finger on him. Punk said Punk rolled out of the ring. Punk, McIntyre called him a coward. Punk said he wasn't worried about McIntyre Rollins would do to him. He was worried about what he might do. So he's just going to stay at ringside. Rollins said Punk loves to call the shots. He said that's how that's going to work. He volunteered to be the referee because you two scared off the other referees. Rollins said he could hand over the referee shirt and the match would be off, but he wants to see them fight. Rollins said if Punk wants to fight, then he should get his ass back in the ring. McIntyre called Punk a boot-licking office boy. Punk told Rollins, enjoy your power while you can. McIntyre said he and Rollins have a professional rivalry and they both want what's best for WWE. Unlike Punk, McIntyre told Rollins to remember on Saturday that Punk is the real enemy. Rollins said if anyone hates Punk as much as McIntyre, it's him. Rollins said that if anyone hates McIntyre as much as Punk, Tim, Rollins said there will be only one rule and regulation for the Punk vs. McIntyre match. You two will listen to everything I have to say. I call the shots. I'm the boss. I'm the law. I count three when I want to count to three. You tap out when I say you can tap out. If there's a count out to be had, maybe there won't be any count outs. I might count to 10. I might count to 20. I might count to a million. He didn't say disqualifications, but it would be at his discretion. Ah, referee's discretion. It's in canon now. Punk says he's...
Where's Brent?
Punk said he thinks Rollins being referee is a hat on a hat. He assumed that Rollins would like that given the way he dresses. Punk said he don't want Rollins to help him on Saturday. McIntyre said Punk should be worried about the man he screwed over and over again. McIntyre said he hates Punk and said he's like Charles Manson in that he poisons everyone's minds. He said he can't even go to the supermarket without someone chanting Punk's name at him. McIntyre said he wanted to rough up Punk a little bit in the Royal Rumble match and then he tore his triceps. McIntyre said he wasn't even trying to hurt Punk that night and Punk has screwed him out of the title twice since then. He won't stop beating Punk until Punk's heart stops. McIntyre said the best thing in this match is being held in a stadium and he'll be making a lot of money for something he would have done for free. Punk said he's been absent from the company for 10 years and the fans chanted his name. Punk said they chanted his song and sing Rollins' song and McIntyre is the third wheel in a match. Punk said McIntyre's Punk derangement syndrome. He said the best thing and worst thing that ever happened to McIntyre was injuring him. Punk said McIntyre is his worst enemy. Punk said he's not tall, big, or as fast as McIntyre, but he's the heart and has the people chanting his name, which they did. Punk asked McIntyre what he has. McIntyre held up the bracelet he stole from Punk. Punk tried to grab it, went face-to-face with McIntyre. They couldn't touch. The music played. That's how it ended. It was good.
It was very good. Like, I enjoyed this segment immensely. I thought it was wonderful how they did it. You had Punk get his words in, you had Seth throw his POV out there, and then you had Drew just be Drew and be amazing. So they did a really, really nice job of capping off what they did last week, and just sort of keeping it going heading into Saturday. Very curious also to see how Seth sort of throws his weight around in the match. I know we've talked about it on a couple different shows, but like to see him do the John Cena where he just slaps the crap out of both Punk and Drew and be like, this is my show. We're doing it my way. Go. That would be good.
I don't know if we get that, but I think he proved this point and we're going to get a lot of shenanigans come Saturday night.
Yeah, I think Seth's not going to go. Actually, he may call this right down the middle and just screw both of them.
He could.
Which would be fair. Which would be completely fair.
Let them beat the hell out of each other, call 1-2-3 when it's supposed to end. And that's kind of how it was. But it was an overall solid show tonight. As mentioned, they're in USA. They didn't have not all the explosions, but they focus on the stories. They told you what you're going to see Saturday. And I think Saturday's going to be really good.
I think Saturday should be really fun in a lot of different ways. Because the one thing that they've sort of done is cast doubt, especially in certain matches, where it's like, well, can Damian actually beat Gunther? You know, will something happen with the Judgment Day in terms of Damian and Rhea, you know, especially between Dom and Rhea and Liv, and could we see somebody turn? You know, there's a lot of doubt going into the show, which is good.
Yeah. So that was Raw.
That was Raw.
Thursday, we talk SummerSlam.
That's right. Tune in. We'll be talking all about SummerSlam, which is this Saturday, live on the Peacocks in the U.S. and on the WWE networks outside the U.S. We'll also have news and notes, so it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
And Saturday night, we review this show once SummerSlam ends on The Rack Extra Review SummerSlam. It'll be fun. Join us. Which means
live reactions.
Which means no game night or CB radio, but that's okay. We'll take 1 week off of that. But Friday night, it's GM Battle Season 5. We roll on. Should be a lot of fun. Sunday night, they review SummerSlam on Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back next Monday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Talk all things of the Fallout on Sci-Fi. Should be a fun time having it all. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat at that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card RocketSock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy Pirates and Adidas and Deadpool and Wolverine and I've lost track of what's all in the item shop, but you can do so because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of social medias at LensWard, L-E-N-S-W-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LensWard. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLensWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWard0.
This has been the Raw Poster, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the rack, Saturday for the rack, and all week long. Long bandwidths on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Day one, it's just me, oh, okay.